The Cardinals are in Chicago for a four-game series against the Cubs. With only 10 games remaining in the Cardinals and Cubs seasons, seven will be head-to-head. Four at Wrigley this weekend and three at Busch Stadium next weekend to close the regular season. The Cardinals won two of three from the Nationals, beating Washington 5-1 in the rubber game on Wednesday afternoon behind seven innings from Adam Wainwright. Just one unearned run surrendered, the 13th win for the Cardinals' right-hander. The Redbirds tagged Max Scherzer for two home runs and improved to 85-67, five wins away from 90 wins this season with 10 games remaining. With the Reds and Padres beating the Cubs and Brewers respectively, the Cardinals are three games on top of the Cubs and Milwaukee in the National League Central. And Fangraphs.com currently gives the Cardinals a 92.1% chance of making the playoffs and a 72.7% chance of winning the division. Four games at Wrigley, seven of the Cardinals' final 10 against the Cubs. For Scoops with DannyMac.com, I'm Chris Raby. A huge series this weekend in Chicago for the Cardinals and Cubs. Jack Flaherty and Kyle Hendricks tonight at 6:15. It'll be Michael Wacha for the Cardinals tomorrow against Jose Quintana, Dakota Hudson and Cole Hamels Saturday, Miles Michaelis and Yu Darvish on Sunday. The Cardinals are three games in front of the Cubs at 85-67, and we welcome Danny Parkins of 670 The Score in Chicago, the Cubs flagship, into ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. You can follow Danny on Twitter at Danny Parkins. Also hear him from 2 to 6 every day on The Score, Sports Radio Chicago's 670. Parkins, what's going on, man? How's everyone in Chicago dealing with this thing coming down to the wire?
Chris, great to talk to you as always. You know, it's a weird feeling. I think Cubs fans are more split about this team than they've been on any of the teams since they've entered this window of contention that started in 2015, because this team has been very frustrating at times. This team hasn't been likable. They've definitely been a group of underachievers. They were dominant the first quarter of the season. They were dominant recently against bad teams, hanging like 15 runs a game against Pittsburgh in that five-game winning streak. But they're undeniably an underachieving group, and there's a feeling of it could be the beginning of the end with Joe Maddon's contract being up and maybe some hard choices needing to be made about the core in the offseason. But then on the other hand, they're relishing any chance at relevant baseball in September, these huge series with the Cardinals, the ability to chase you guys down from behind, and the acknowledgement that crazy things happen in October. So recently, Cubs fans, the last 3-4 years, have been pretty aligned on their team. It's been pretty clear-cut what they are or aren't. This year, I think it's more split.
I love the fact, Danny, that it plays out like this. The Cubs and Cardinals play each other seven times over the final 10 games for each team season. Milwaukee, obviously, will be sitting back and watching. They could be the beneficiary of these teams beating up on each other. But what's your take on the fact that especially the Cubs and Cardinals, right now, 10 games left, seven head-to-head, they can each say reasonably that they control their own destiny?
This is something that baseball just gets right.
Yeah.
It's very obvious. It's such an obvious move, and it's the correct one. You know, it's amazing that it hasn't been this way for forever. Because, yes, sometimes division races can be wrapped up, and then these games feel a little silly or meaningless or like glorified spring training games if you're in a division where a team is double-digit games out in first in September. But if a team is double-digit games out in September, it wouldn't really matter who they're playing because it would still not be that significant for the team with the huge lead. So this is the obvious way for baseball to set up the schedule for maximum intrigue. And I think it's awesome that these Cubs-Cardinals games are going to matter a lot.
Danny Parkins of 670 The Score with us on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com as we get set for the Cardinals and Cubs. I know Joe Maddon has been a lightning rod in Chicago and has come under fire, especially recently, as the Cubs have fallen out of first place in the National League Central. But how much of the criticism of Maddon is warranted, Danny? And how much of it is due to the fact that, for instance, he doesn't necessarily have the horses to run the race?
Yeah, any analogy that you want. He's definitely not playing with a full deck of cards. So I think that individual decisions, any manager can get questioned at any time.
Sure.
You know, Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer and their analytics department weigh in on the pregame matchups and what to do with this pitcher in this situation, or where to bat guys in the batting order, which I think is one of the most over-discussed things in baseball. So Joe wears the brunt of decisions that backfire publicly because he's the manager actually executing them. But most of the decisions that managers are making, they're discussed ahead of time with the front office and they sign off on them. So I don't think the frustration with Joe truly lies in any decision that is being made strategically in a game, but the reality that for the better part of 4 months, this is a 500 team that is frankly underachieving, even with injuries that are certainly not his fault. And last year's team, the last 2 months, the offense broke down the stretch. And even though they won 95 games, there was really no expectation that that team was going to be able to click and go on a run. And they obviously didn't with game 163 and then ultimately the wild card game, losing it to the Brewers at Wrigley Field. So it's a weird feeling with Joe where he's the winningest manager in Cubs history. He ended the drought. He's made the playoffs all 4 years. Likely he will make the playoffs a fifth year, whether as a division winner or a wild card participant, and he's probably not coming back next year. So it's just an odd thing how much the standards have raised here in Chicago.
Obviously, Anthony Rizzo has been a mainstay for the Cubs going back to 2013. Rizzo and Javier Baez have both been mainstays in the lineup, Danny. Incredibly dependable. We'll get to the offense in a moment and what the Cubs offense looks like. But, you know, I'm wondering, especially this weekend, from a defensive standpoint in that ballpark, what does the absence of not just Baez but Rizzo do for that Cubs team? It just seems like when the Cardinals and Cubs have gotten into some battles, especially when it comes to like that wheel play, for instance, defending the bunt, I just have images of Rizzo bearing down on home plate with that giant frame. How differently are things outside of the offensive lineup for the Cubs right now?
Yeah, and you should. The Cubs have been blessed with tremendous continuity for their infield defense and pretty high-level guys all around the diamond. You know, even Addison Russell has been a disappointment, and now he's taking BP today, and he's in the concussion protocol and all that. So it's just been clunky, and it's certainly going to impact their defense. And it's a weird thing because obviously defense matters a lot, but how is this offense going to score consistent runs? And the two 35-year-old lefties, Lester and Hamels, they have just been so inconsistent and so shaky that I think the inconsistencies of the normally stable starters and the offense supersede concerns about the defense, because you got to put guys out there, right? Like, you got Victor Caratini playing first base. You've got Wilson Contreras playing first base and borrowing a glove from Ian Happ, who also not a first baseman. So the defensive alignment is certainly less than ideal, but it's also not among their biggest problems right now.
And for a team, Danny, that's really searched for a while for an answer at the top of the lineup and a leadoff man, while he may not look like a conventional leadoff man, Rizzo's been really good there. And I know has been plugged in there recently for the Cubs and Joe Maddon.
Yeah, the Rizzo injury feels like it might have been the straw that breaks the camel back, right? Like it was Kimbrel, and then it's Baez, and now it's Rizzo. And the question is that just one injury too many? They're saying that Rizzo could be back within 7 days. Seems very optimistic. They're saying that Baez could be back for a postseason run, which feels to me like something they're just saying publicly and maybe even telling the players privately so that, you know, morale doesn't dip because he is such an emotional part of the Cubs' successes. But they're definitely not playing with a full deck of cards, to use that analogy again. I apologize, but they're operating behind the eight ball right now. But, you know, they're playing very competitive baseball, and they're a proud group. They're an experienced group. So I wouldn't write them off yet, but this is nowhere near the best version of this Cubs team.
Danny Parkins, weekdays 2 to 6 on 670 The Score. That's the Cubs flagship in Chicago. Follow him on Twitter at Danny Parkins. Parkins, appreciate it, brother. Enjoy the games this weekend, and here's to a great last week plus of the season.
Yeah, Raby, enjoy it, man. This is why we love baseball, obviously, and I can't say good luck because I wouldn't mean it, but enjoy the games.
You got it. Thanks to Danny Parkins of 670 The Score in Chicago, the first of the four games this weekend in Chicago, and 7 of the final 10 that will be between the Cardinals and Cubs, begins tonight at 6:15 with Jack Flaherty on the mound against Kyle Hendricks. For Scoops with DannyMac.com, I'm Chris Raby.